To another edition of the Marvin Bird Show. This show is all about equipping people with the skills that they need to help students chase their vision of success. And I'm so happy that you are here with me today, because today I bring to you an interview that I conducted with Renee Gordon. Now, she's going to introduce herself and tell you about her passion here in a minute. She is shining light on an issue that I think needs more attention from schools around the country. She is shining light on the issue of teacher shortage in the United States. Now, she's also going to present some eye-opening data, and she's going to make the case that more needs to be done to prepare for the teacher shortage that is coming. You think we have a shortage now? Wait till you hear this data. So before I bring you that interview, let me give you the tip of the day, and this one is for teachers. If you know your students, you know how to redirect them. Know your students, then you will know how to redirect them. Because some students, they can take a simple, hey Johnny, do me a favor and stop talking, please, because this is very important. You don't want to miss this. Some students can take that, but other students will blow up at a public redirection and they just cannot handle it. So it's very, very important. I know that this is simple stuff, but we have to continue to talk about the importance of building relationships with students. And if you don't build those relationships, you don't know your students. And if you don't know your students, you will not understand how to successfully redirect them in a way that lifts them up, that gets them focused on their decision making, and that helps them to feel good about the fact that they've been redirected. So remember that, teachers. That's very, very crucial to your management of the classroom. So let's get into this interview with Renee Gordon. Today, I am excited. I'm so excited to have Renee Gordon on the show. She is writing about something that I think that, you know, very few educators are paying attention to, and I think it's a very important topic, that topic of teacher shortage and teacher retention. And she is the human capital strategist for K-12 schools at E-Squared, and she's going to tell you a little bit about that company as we go along. But just to introduce her, what I'd like to do is I've gone on her LinkedIn page, and I'm going to read to you something that someone said about her. So this is a better way to introduce her than going off of her bio. So this is from her LinkedIn page. It reads, Renee is an excellent resource to connect with. She will provide you with clear, concise, and direct answers about your staffing needs. Renee has a direct understanding of the school environment and always takes the time to match the candidate to the school she is working with. I would highly recommend Renee to any district or teacher seeking employment placement by a respected professional. Renee, welcome to the show. How are you?
Wow. I don't know that I've read that.
Well, it's on your LinkedIn page. You should check it out every now and then.
Well, you know, I do need to check it out every now and then, don't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm great.
Excellent, excellent. So I'm so glad to have you on the show. So the first question that I usually ask people when we start out, because you are passionate about education, a specific part of education, and I'd like to find out exactly what got you started on this path, particularly in terms of dealing and researching this teacher shortage issue. What got you involved in education?
Well, my own children got me involved in education. I had been an IT headhunter for years, and as a headhunter, I see patterns. But when we moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, we bought our house according to where our kids would go to school. And I can tell you that my sons actually walked to school. What a rarity that is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when they were out of my eyesight, Marvin, my retired neighbors had a bead on them.
Wow. It takes a village. That's cool.
So this school had a very healthy parent engagement program, lots of ways for parents to be involved. And one of the ways that I volunteered was teaching fifth graders math in our computer lab. And math is a foundational subject.
Absolutely.
I didn't want anybody to say, I'm not good at math. It isn't that you're not good at math. It's that you had a crappy math teacher. But I, you know, when you see that light bulb go on over a kid's head.
Yes.
You know, when you really care that they're getting it, it's pretty exhilarating. But this is a really interesting little school. 60% of our kids were free and reduced at breakfast and lunch. It was a majority-minority school, although our free and reduced population was not necessarily our minority population.
Okay.
30% of our parents were functionally illiterate.
Wow.
Yeah, East Tennessee is really an interesting place. Apparently, zoning is a concept they know nothing about. So I lived in a little enclave called Holston Hills, and at the end of my street was the country club and the golf course and the tennis courts, and my kids swam for Holston Hills for years.
Okay.
But everything that surrounded it was not so great. So it was really interesting. And then I came in, and recruiting is recruiting is recruiting. Once you understand the process, you can recruit anything. So I just took their parent engagement program and put it on steroids. And we had 110 ways for parents to be involved.
Wow. Okay.
And we took into consideration parents who couldn't be there during the day. So we had ways for them to be involved. In a school with 325 kids, we typically average between 10 and 12,000 parent engagement hours a year.
That's amazing. Good job.
It's amazing. And you know, one of the ways we did it was we wrote lots and lots and lots of little, you know, mini grants, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 grants that were matching grants. They were in kind. And so our parents who couldn't financially contribute knew that by coming to the school and volunteering a couple hours, those hours went to in kind, right? And we were able to get lots of grants that way because of their willingness to roll up their sleeves. But it wasn't just my kids that I was concerned about. It was everyone's kids. And I had a little guy in my math class, my cooperating teacher, Alice Bratton, an amazing woman, came to me and she said, how does he do in that math class? I said, oh, he gets it. He gets it real quickly. She said, well, you know, I had his two brothers and they were nice boys, but they weren't the sharpest pencils in the pencil box. She said, but he's just a different cat.
Right.
And every kid needs to be judged on their own merit. But this exposed me to kids who are part of a homeless population. This exposed me to kids whose parents were doing the very best that they could. This just exposed me to all kinds of kids. And in this little elementary school, in the 7 years my kids were there.
Right.
We had one teacher go on sabbatical, and we had another teacher relocate, and that was our turnover in 7 years.
That is amazing. Wow.
Right? Because the school operated as a team. The janitors were as important as the principal. The school operated as a team. And then Kelly and Carrie, my two youngest, went on to inner city performing arts magnet schools. And I just saw why those schools just failed. You know?
Because they lacked that team concept?
Well, you know, it all starts, pardon me, with having a great, great leader. And,
absolutely.
And in the time my kids were in the middle school, I never once, even though Kelly had an IEP and that principal should have been there, I never once saw her. How I was greeted at the front office, rude might be a compliment. yeah. And it was sort of every man for themselves. And then when we got to the high school, the disorganization was just breathtaking. And the other part of the high school was, you know, this is a performing arts magnet school, and none of the kids that were zoned there were taking part in the instrumental side of the house. And the very first Christmas performance I went to, Marvin, when the choir came out, and that was mostly zone kids, their self-esteem was so low that there wasn't one kid out of the 50 standing there that could look out into the audience and look them in the eye.
Oh, wow. That's not good. That's not good at all.
It was heartbreaking. It was just heartbreaking to watch. So after I got tired of recruiting IT people, and that doesn't take too long, I really shifted my focus and started to look at schools because I saw a looming teacher shortage on the horizon. Just no way around it, you know, just with baby boomers retiring. But the next component that got added into that is we've seen a 39% drop in the number of students enrolling in schools of education in just the last 4 years. And so, great example, last year, nationwide, we only graduated about 110,000 new teachers. The
okay.
most startling statistic, I think, of all of that is of that 110,000, 40% will never go work in a classroom.
Okay, so let me jump in because now we're getting sure. into the we're getting into the meat of this, and this is sure. your wheelhouse, and you've been looking at this, and I really want to take a moment to let that statistic breathe a little bit. Can you give me that again about the 110,000?
Right. So we'll graduate about 110,000 new education grads. Of that number, 40% of those will never go to work in a classroom.
I just want to take a minute to remind you that if you like what you hear on the Marvin Bird Show and you've been wondering to yourself, how can I support the wonderful things that are going on with this podcast? This is amazing stuff. How can I support? Well, let me tell you this. You can support very, very simply, and it doesn't cost you any additional money. You can if you shop at Amazon, instead of going to Amazon.com, wait right there. I got another one for you. You can go to MarvinBird.com/Amazon. If you go to MarvinBird.com/Amazon, that'll take you to a page that has the big Amazon icon. And if you click on that icon, that'll take you to Amazon where you were going originally. And anything that you purchase there, we get a little commission for it. That's just your way of saying, hey, thanks. Keep up the great work. This is great content. Let's keep the conversation going. So if you would do that, and if you would tell all of your friends to do that, I would appreciate it so much. So thank you very much to all of you who are doing that. It really does mean a lot. It keeps us going. And to those of you who are considering it, I ask that you please do consider it, try it out. It's very, very simple. Just takes just a few extra seconds of your time so that you could give back to the Marvin Bird Show. So thank you so much for doing that, and thank you for your consideration. Now let's get back to this interview. Okay, so what has your research told you about that? What are some of the reasons as to why that is? Because it's just, I mean, gosh, that's a lot of time invested in preparing to become a teacher and to not use that. I understand people go to school and they work in different fields, but man, that seems like a significant number. Why is that happening? What has your research shown you?
I haven't done any research in that area, but you know, I've probably talked to, I've talked to thousands and thousands of teachers over the last 12 years. And you have to understand, we wait until the second semester of a student's senior year before we put them where they're going to work, right?
Yeah.
So we wait to stick them with kids. And I think there's a percentage of that population that goes, children.
Right.
The other thing we don't do, and I was just answering someone's comment this morning on LinkedIn. The very first research I did, one of the things that I discovered was that teachers have an age range that they really lock and load with, that they're comfortable with, that they get those kids, that they work best with those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And in elementary, it varies from lower L to upper L. In high school, it varies from those who want to work with 9th and 10th to those who only want to work with 11th and 12th.
Yep, that's spot
and
on.
Then middle, right? And then middle school is that unique group that you either love those children or you run for the hills and reevaluate your career aspirations.
Yes.
Right?
That's the age, yep.
Right? For any of us who have had a middle schooler, and I count myself fortunate I had all boys because I think that's lessened to some degree. But we stick them in one, maybe two classrooms, and we really don't expose them to find out where they're the most comfortable. I was talking to a newspaper editor down in South Carolina because I wrote an op-ed for the South Carolina newspapers recently on the teacher shortage.
I saw that, and, yeah.
And this editor said to me, she goes, you know, I think it's really interesting. My sister is a high school English teacher, and she told me that everything that she learned that was relevant came during her 6 weeks of student teaching. So you have to wonder what else they're doing in the other 3.5 years.
Yes. Yeah, that great point. Great point.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I think, and I've always compared it, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but I've always compared it to those stupid Lamaze classes. So when I was expecting my first baby and went to those Lamaze classes and learned that breathing and, you know, imagine yourself on a beautiful desert island. And then I had that first labor pain and I thought to myself, Marvin, I don't think panting like a dog is going to help with this. Right. So I think that they're ill prepared. The other thing we know is on average, college students right now, on average, are walking out of school with a $30,000 debt load.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And they start looking at starting teacher salary. I'm in Lawrence Township in Indianapolis. The starting teacher salary at Lawrence Township, if that teacher is single and has two children, is so low that that teacher qualifies for food stamps.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Right? So, and you know, financially, I think we're driving them out of the market. But, you know, I think they do that student teaching and maybe decide it's not for them or do that student teaching and think, you know, they're not well prepared.
Right.
Do that student teaching and think, you know, maybe I should look around. The other thing, and one of the things, you know, I was just at the Michigan Falls Superintendents Conference presenting, and the other thing I said to them is look around at the other superintendents. If you think they're your only competitors, you are wrong.
Right.
Right. So at 3.9% unemployment, everybody is looking for them. A teacher can make almost as much working as a package handler at FedEx as teaching school. And when you go home from FedEx, you don't take 100 essays that you're going to grade over the weekend.
Right. Your day right? is done when you go home.
Right. Yeah. Your day is done. And, you know, if I was to recommend anything to teachers, it's work the hours that your contract says you're supposed to work. And if you don't get it done, too bad. You know, it was one of the things I said at this conference is you have to look at that job description and how much time each one of those duties takes and add it up. And if you have engineered an impossible position, you need to go back and figure out what can be cut, because people are only going to work so many hours before they burn out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God gave me a gift and a passion to teach. And he also gave me a special gift of being able to motivate students and explain things in a way that helps to capture their attention. And that is on display on the Vision Chasers YouTube channel. I want to talk to you about that. The Vision Chasers YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube/The Vision Chasers, that's the Vision Chasers channel. Now, in that channel, I'm speaking specifically to students. On that channel, I've recorded short motivational videos for students, study tip videos with study tips and different things to help motivate students along the way. And a lot of these videos contain things that I've said to students over the years to help motivate them, help them to get their head on straight and start thinking in terms of, you know, that delayed gratification, making good decisions each and every day so you set yourself up for multiple opportunities in the future. So if you go to YouTube/The Vision Chasers, you can check that out. And also, for those of you who may be social studies teachers, or maybe you know of a social studies teacher, I also have some flipped classroom videos on there as well. They're mainly U.S. history, because that's what I taught when I was in the classroom. So if you know of any social studies teacher, or you're interested in social studies, I've also shared some U.S. history videos, and I've made them really, really simple just to kind of give some foundational information and whet the appetite for the viewer to want to go look up and do some more research on their own. So please check out that YouTube channel. That's YouTube/The Vision Chasers. Absolutely. So are you talking about in terms of giving them time back?
You know, one of the things we did at Chilhowee, elementary teachers are the cuttin'est, tastin'est, stampin'est group that you can encounter.
Yes, they are. Very creative.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I had no clue. We had a die-cut machine there, and not only did we have a die-cut machine, but we had 120 different dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I became PTA president and I looked at this request to sharpen the dies, I'm like, well, how many of these things do we have? but teachers from other schools would come over so they could use their die cut machine. So one of the things we did, all that little miscellaneous cut, paste, stamp, whatever.
Right.
All of those things was put into what was called the PTA workroom. And you took those things and you put them into a big manila envelope or a box. And for our parents, and this especially worked for our parents who were occupied during the day,
mm-hmm.
You put that into an envelope with a return date on it when you needed it back, and you sent it home with that kid. And that parent took care of all of that stuff for our teachers.
That is a great idea. I like that. And so you take that responsibility off the teacher. So, yeah, that's really good.
Right, yeah. Right. So you know, I think we've engineered impossible positions. You know, the other thing is that when teachers get a raise, a great teacher who's there 60 hours a week gets the same raise as the teacher who comes in 2 minutes before her contract says and leaves 2 minutes after the contract says.
Now, I was going to ask you about that. What are your thoughts on the salary, the teacher's salary schedule? How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I think that districts and unions need to get realistic and work with each other. you know, I have heard the argument about not paying teachers where there's a high demand, you know, more money. But the market drives salaries. It was really interesting in this presentation. I co-presented with Superintendent Blake Pruitt out of Lakeview Schools in Michigan. And when Kalamazoo bumped their starting teacher salary to 40, right?
Yeah.
He knew he has to go back to the union and renegotiate the contract. The day before school, a special ed teacher that they had called him and said, I have an offer from this district. It's $10,000 more than you're willing to pay me. If you can come up with $10,000, I'll turn their offer down. So it's going to get, you know, in terms of teacher salaries, it's going to get competitive in places that realize this. But, you know, in states like Kansas, where Brownback just decimated the education budget, Arizona, West Virginia, Indiana. Indiana teachers make 17% less right now than they did 10 years ago.
Oh, that is too bad. Mm.
Well, as a recruiter, I always look for the soft spots.
So tell.
So I think we'll see a rise in teacher salaries.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Because they're not going to have a choice.
Because they won't have a choice. So,
right.
It's unfortunate that it they were pushed to the possibly pushed to the point where they just don't have a choice, as opposed to, hey, you've been a teacher here for a while. I really appreciate the job that you do. Here's a raise.
You know, to some degree, school districts' hands are tied because, so a tiny sliver of a school district budget comes from the federal government.
Yes.
The majority of the money is state and local. And not only have they messed with, you know, what we can pay teachers or are willing to pay teachers, but then they've also messed with what's required of a teacher. So
yes.
Michigan is changing teacher certifications now so that they're even more narrow in scope. So an example is their certification used to be you could get a K-8 all-inclusive, which means you could teach any subject K through 8.
Okay.
They're now going to chop it down. So you get a K through 3, a 4 through 6, a 7, 8.
Yeah, it's less attractive, yeah.
Right? And so it gives a whole lot less flexibility to districts, gives a whole lot less flexibility to teachers as well.
Right.
And I'd love to understand the rationale behind it, but I can't. But there's just nothing that allows me to think that.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting information. And I have some good news and I have some bad news for you. The bad news is that's the end of the show. But the good news is that this is going to be a two-parter because our conversation is going to continue and you will be able to check out the second part of our conversation next week. This is a problem and schools must prepare themselves for what's coming in the future and find a way to retain teachers and attract teachers. You will be able to find Renee's research on the Marvin Byrd Facebook page. That is Facebook/MarvinBird EDU. Also on Twitter, that's at MarvinBird LLC. And then you can also find her research on MarvinBird.com. Before I leave you, I just want to remind you of the opportunity to be able to support the show through Amazon. Whenever you shop at Amazon, go to MarvinBird.com/Amazon, and then you can support the show. Again, I appreciate that. And once again, part two of this interview with Renee Gordon is coming next week. She's going to give you some more information. And so here, this show is about information leading to transformation. That is most important. And definitely we need some transformation as it relates to how we hire, how we train, how we retain teachers, and just how we do school overall. All of that needs to be transformed, because based on this data, there is trouble ahead. So thank you so much for listening. And until we meet again, please take care of those children. Bye.